Dave Kodama runs Kenichi Woodworking, designing and producing custom modern and creative furniture and accessories. He makes everything from tables to bike racks right here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Thanks for speaking with Katie and Kay on Express Yourself, Dave.
Oh, cool, man. Thanks for having me here.
So many people have seen your work, but maybe not realized it, thanks to your awesome bamboo patch hats. Others have seen your work at the fashion show, thanks to your amazing collaboration with Wintercroft. Mm-hmm. You're part of an art opening at the Red Brick Center for the Arts in Aspen tonight, September 14th, called Beyond the Square. The opening reception runs 5 to 7 mm-hmm. and features artists Annie DeCamp, Melvin Gallant, Isabella Garaffa, Kathy Honey, Michael McConnell. You're listed, Dave, in collaboration with Liz Heller. Tell us about the work that you two have installed.
Well, Liz Heller is a super talented ceramicist. We started working together for the Clay Center Collaborative Wood and Clay show a few months ago. And we just worked so well together. We jived so well together that we continue to work and collaborate. And I assume and expect that we're going to keep collaborating and working together in the future as well. We made a 31-foot installation piece. We didn't realize when we applied for the show that they were going to give us a 46-foot wall. And so, yeah, we had our work cut out for us. We were, you know, slaving the last month just trying to get everything done for the show. But it's much like the hexagon pieces that we did for the Clay Center, but it's 31 feet and is comprised of 18 modular pieces that can be taken apart and reinstalled in different ways. And we also have the wedges that we displayed at the Clay Center as well, which are sculptural wedges that combine wood and porcelain.
And will this piece that's at Red Brick be for sale?
Yes.
The big one?
Yeah, it will be for sale as one big piece, and people can also buy, you know, each modular piece, you know, because basically it starts on the outside, left and right sides, with very light wood and ceramics. So it's maple and white porcelain, and then it gradients. What's the word I'm looking for here? Into a darker piece. So the middle is walnut and dark gray porcelain, and moves from light to dark. And so people can choose, you know, whether they like a darker piece or lighter piece. You know, we have a few pieces that have walnut sapwood, which is a much lighter walnut to sort of blend from light to dark.
Awesome. And so, you know, I've been a fan of your work for a long time. I read your artist statement for this show, but I want to know more about your background. Can you talk about how you got started with carpentry and working with wood? Was it all the trees in Canada where you grew up?
Sure. Well, I lived in Whistler for many, many years, and I was living the classic ski bum lifestyle, bartending at night and riding every day. And as amazing as that life was, I did get to a point in my, I don't know, mid-20s maybe, where I was starting to think more about the future and wondering what I was going to be doing. And at that point, I moved down to the city. You know, living in the ski town, your options are somewhat limited. So I moved down to Vancouver, and that's when I started working in the trades as a carpenter. Mm. And, you know, to tell you the truth, at that time, I thought it was just a temporary thing. A good friend of mine from Whistler moved down to the city at the same time. And, you know, he was a talented carpenter, and he hired me as help. He asked me if I wanted to, you know, work with him doing renovations, high-end renovations and stuff like that. And at that point in time, I had zero, you know, experience at all. I even called it, you know, manual labor. I was like, yeah, I'll do manual labor. I'll give it a go. But luckily, you know, he, you know, had the ability to do everything. And so I learned from him. And early on in the game, I knew that I wanted to work with wood. You know, we were doing renovations, so we were doing everything from demo to framing to cabinetry to trim work, everything. But right away, I knew that wood was the direction I wanted to go. And so over the years, I worked towards that goal. You know, I moved back to Whistler as a carpenter and living in a ski town with a job that isn't completely reliant on the tourist dollar, you know, really changed things for me. And I really enjoyed that lifestyle, living in the mountains again. And I had the opportunity to work with a really high-end cabinet shop, and I started working as an installer for them. And at that point, started training with their cabinet maker in the shop and getting closer to my goal of being in the shop. And, you know, I met my wife, Zuleika, while we were living in Vancouver, actually, and eventually moved down here. And after I moved here, you know, started from scratch, you know, trying to get a foothold in the community and establish a business. But I had the chance to work with really talented people like Gabe Villarreal. And he taught me a lot and basically gave me that extra final push to get me, you know, in the right direction towards having my own business, and not only having my own business, but being in the shop and working towards my goal of, you know, fabricating furniture and cabinetry and not being on site so much doing renovations and stuff like that.
So when you get an idea on your creative side, what is the process that allows you to take something conceptual and make it into something real? Because a lot of your projects, people get on your Instagram and start hunting around, like, there's some vivid ideas that you've been able to manifest. And I think that's one of the things that we who don't see ourselves as the kind of talent that you have, like, are fascinated by, right? It's like, how did you, okay, you came up with something cool, but then you really made it real. You fabricated it. You did it. You constructed it.
Yeah. You know, that's part of the job that I enjoy the most. You know, it's the design part of the job. You know, if a client comes to me and tells me, you know, they have this vision and, you know, they want me to make it a reality, that the first initial steps of listening to what they want, listening to what they want to see created, and being able to put that on paper, whether it's, you know, designing it on the computer, which I do mostly in Illustrator. It's, you know, most furniture workers work in like CAD and SketchUp, but I have a long history of graphic design, so sometimes it's just easier for me to stick with what I know. But I do design on paper, draw it out, or on the computer, and then that really allows me to see visually whether I have the scale and ratios down. And then from there, I figure out how everything's going to work as far as hardware and attachments and joints and joinery and all that kind of stuff.
And what are some of the tools of the trade? What are some things people might be familiar with, and then maybe something a little more out there?
Sure. Well, you know, I share shop space with Brad Reed Nelson, and we have a pretty great shop. We have all the, you know, standard woodworking tools: table saw, joiner, planer, bandsaw, et cetera, et cetera. But I also have a laser machine, which enables me to do a lot of precision cutting and engraving, of course. And it actually, I've started using it a little bit more, kind of like a CNC. I've done a project recently for Casey Brewing in Glenwood, and they ordered 100 beer cradles. So they brew and blend Belgian-style beers that can be pretty heavy in sediment. And so they have these beer cradles, and it might be hard to visualize, but it is on my Instagram if anyone's curious to take a look, so that you can put the bottle in the cradle and serve the beer and have the sediment not get mixed in with the beer. And in order to do that, they wanted 100 units. And in order to do that, it's all finger jointed box jointed joinery, and to do that on a table saw, you know, the old school way, just would have taken forever. But luckily, you know, I was able to use the laser to cut all the cuts, and you know, it's a laser, so every cut is the same, everything's consistent and predictable, which is great when you're working with wood, because wood can be very unpredictable.
My guest is woodworker David Kodama of Kenichi Woodworking. He's part of an art opening tonight at the Red Brick Center for the Arts in Aspen. Reception is from 5 to 7. Have you done a lot of art openings? You seem to kind of straddle the commercial world and the art scene with your projects.
Yeah, no, I haven't done many art openings at all. I've done two, and they've all been this year.
Nice.
And really, I have to thank the Clay Center for kickstarting, you know, that jumpstarting that artistic side of woodworking. You know, my history with the woodworking has been strictly business. I've always wanted to explore the artistic side more, but you know, when you're just trying to pay the bills,
right.
you're making functional stuff, and it's been really nice to make stuff that is non-functional and just aesthetically beautiful.
Totally. Well, and if people want to check out your Instagram, what's the handle?
It's at Kenichi Woodworking, K-E-N-I-C-H-I, Woodworking.
Nice. And Kenichi, that's a family name?
That's actually my Japanese name.
Uh-huh.
It's a fairly common Japanese name for a firstborn son. There's Kenichi, the restaurant up in Aspen. I'm sure his name is Kenichi as well.
Right. In terms of Instagram, I noticed you hung out with the one and only Shepherd Ferry this summer. You posted a great photo with him. Is he cool behind the scenes?
Oh my God. He's he's been such a inspiration and a hero to me, not only as an amazing artist, but as a person as well. And so to meet someone like that and to realize find out that they are just as amazing and cool as you had hoped is just such a treat. Yeah.
Nice. And talk about some of the fun projects you've done for local businesses. You mentioned Casey and these really cool kind of, they almost look like a custom box for each bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a coffin that you'd put it in when you finish drinking it.
Sure.
But then you make custom tap handles for Roaring Fork beer.
Yeah. You know, Roaring Fork has been a great friend and partner, and I've had so much fun collaborating and fabricating for them. And they always just kind of let me run with the creative side of things, and it's just such a great partnership. I made the tap handles for them. I had a steel plate water jet cut, and then I powder coated, and I veneered them with oak. Laser engraved oak with their logos on it.
And so those are distributed around the state.
Yeah, I think mostly Denver in the Front Range.
Yeah, cool.
And so yeah, if you're down,
another example of people who've seen your work without even realizing,
right?
It, you know?
Yeah, totally. And what else have I done for them? Oh, their sign, the batch sign. Yeah, I made that.
Yeah, nice.
And made a bunch of hats for them
So did they add you to the six-pack club or something to
hook
you up?
Yeah, I do a lot of trade work. I actually really enjoy doing trade work.
Are you looking for clients right now? Are you on the market for more business? Are you pretty jammed?
Yeah, I'm jamming, and I feel, you know, spread thin, but I'm always looking for new clients. You know, winter's coming, and it could be lean. It could be good. It's still kind of unpredictable at this phase in my business.
Right. How do people reach you? I mean, Instagram's one way. How else should people? You have a homepage for Kenichi, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can look me up on the web, www.kenichiwoodworking.com, and my phone number and email is all on there. They can get in touch. That's probably the most efficient way to get in touch with me.
Right on. Well, I just want to ask you one more thing. As someone who works with wood so much, I know that you're conscientious about the supplies out there and mm-hmm. about the environment. So talk about this partnership with Eden Reforestation Project. It's a nonprofit?
Yeah, it's a nonprofit. And basically, I donate a portion of my sales to them. and they plant trees. So, for example, I'm making a great table right now. It's a exterior table, and in order for it to be durable and be able to be outside in the elements, I've used a tropical wood called kumaru, and it's much like ipé or teak. It's got a high oil content, and it's going to last a long time, and it's very beautiful, but it's also a tropical hardwood. And, you know, as a furniture maker, you're often faced with that dilemma of you want to make something that's going to last and be durable, because that's part of being sustainable as well. If you're making garbage that's going to last a year, you know, that's unsustainable as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also, you know, using a resource that may or may not be sustainably harvested. In this case, it was a sustainably harvested wood, but it's still a high embodied energy. So I donate a portion of my profits to a great nonprofit called Eden Reforestation Project. And they plant trees in Haiti, Madagascar, and developing nations all over the world. They employ the locals to replant these trees, so they provide employment. And oftentimes they are replanting decimated areas, so reforesting places that were once lush that may have been, you know, clear cut or for lumber and for agriculture. It really depends.
Right on. Well, my guest is Dave Kodama. He runs Kenichi Woodworking. You can find them online and on Instagram. And as part of this big opening tonight at the Red Brick Center for the Arts in Aspen, reception runs from 5 to 7. It's called Beyond the Square, with a bunch of different artists, including Dave Kodama's collaboration with Liz Heller. I've been a big fan of your work for a couple of years. I'm trying
Thank
to you. Save up some money to buy some of your awesome functional or less functional stuff. And in the meantime, thanks for speaking to KD&K. I know you're a big KD&K supporter as mm-hmm. we are getting into membership drive. Why do you like KD&K? I mean, you know, is that sort of a dumb question because it's just you like music and stuff, or is there anything about it that, you know, what you don't have to give KD&K money to get an interview on the station,
sure,
but you give us money regardless because you care about KD&K. You know, what does KD&K mean to you?
Well, it's the voice of the community. That's the biggest thing. You know, I love music. Music is my life. When I'm working, I can't work without music. And even when I'm at home cooking, I got music on, and it's often KD&K. But the biggest thing is it's the voice of the community, and it's a balanced perspective, and it's really important, especially now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to support that and keep that going is very important.
Well, thanks so much, Dave, for your support, and we're so excited about this opening, and I hope that the Clay Center show and this Red Brick show are part of a whole new dimension of your work, man.
So do I. It's been really, really fun.
Right on. Well, thanks again for talking to us.
Okay. Thank you.